Today, we're speaking with an advisor who is well known to many in the Money Show community, Linda Bradford Ratschke. She's spoken at many of the events. She's with LBR Group. And in addition to being a well-known trader, she's also an author on trading psychology. And we'll talk a bit about that with her today. Thanks for joining us, Linda.
Thank you for having me.
Give us your take on where the strength is in the current market and what you think individual investors need to be doing in the light, in the face of what's been going on recently.
So two things. I think, first of all, don't jump to conclusions that we're in a huge bear market or a huge bull market. You know, put things in perspective and look where your support levels are. We obviously just went through an extreme period that I think we had some good selling climax in. Bearish sentiment got extremely high. And what I like to do is when you get some type of bottom like that, look for the relative strength leaders off of those lows. And mm-hmm. so if you look at the relative strength leaders coming off of that last, you know, sentiment extreme, you'll see that there's still a lot of big cap blue chips, which really are not that far away from making new highs. And you really want to stick with the relative strength in this type of market. You know, wait till there's a washout. And then don't try and bottom fish the dogs, because the dogs will stay dogs, you know. Mm-hmm. So I really like stocks like IBM and Boeing, and, you know, if you look at things like Amazon, they're really not so far away from their highs. I think there's a lot of stocks that are attractive in terms of looking at their dividend yields relative to, you know, what you're going to make on the 10-year notes right now. So definitely factor that into your valuation models. That really, you know, with interest rates at zero, you know, if you're getting a 3% dividend somewhere, hey, that's not so bad. And, you know, the drug stocks have been doing just fine here. I like the charts on those. So that's, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. September historically is not known for being the greatest month, and we've already had a good pop-up off of these lows. Mm-hmm. You know, so you don't want to go chasing anything either. But, you know, just keep in mind, if you are an investor, always have a shopping list. You know, always have a shopping list of stocks that you're eyeballing, but maybe the prices aren't attractive. And then when you do get a washout like we had, you know, bring out your shopping list and see what, you know, is actually holding okay. So that's my advice. I think that, you know, the Fed saying that we've got interest rates low for the next 2 years definitely mm-hmm. puts a bit of a floor underneath the market, you know. And I know everybody's looking at the fact that, you know, economic slowdown or whatever, but, you know, statistics are statistics. A lot of people held back from making decisions over the last 2-3 months, obviously for political purposes and deficit purposes and all this stuff going on. And, you know, it's going to keep turning from day to day. So, mm-hmm. you know, temper the anxiety is number one. Number two, stick with the methodology, which is looking for where the relative strength is. And when you measure relative strength, you want to measure it from the most recent lows. See what actually starts to get lifted best off of those lows. And then just take it, you know, one time horizon at a time. In other words, don't try and figure out where we're going to be a year from now. You know, just see what we can do for the next couple weeks. And you know, this NASDAQ actually is right above, it's right back into the middle of its trading range it had all summer before we had that big breakdown.
Right.
So definitely technology, there's some good pockets of strength there. And like I said, the drugs and, I mean, it's really pretty interesting because we still have stocks making all-time new highs. You know, mm-hmm. McDonald's was up there at all-time new highs. Coca-Cola is up there at all-time new highs. And so just stay away from the dogs, you know. Stay away from the stuff that's beaten down, because it really doesn't come back as quickly, you know, as the stuff where the real demand is.
Well, I wanted to follow up on that just for a moment, Linda. Are there any particular maybe industries, sectors, asset classes, global regions that you really do see as being some of the dogs right now that people should avoid?
Well, I have to say this, you know, in terms of global indices, you know, actually the U.S. has been outperforming. So, hey, rah-rah, go USA, right? Seriously,
right?
You know, for an investor, it's really easy for them just to pull up some of the world ETFs and look at, you know, new emerging ETFs, there's a billion symbols, you know, Germany has been underperforming. You know, obviously Europe's been underperforming, and it's just nice to see the U.S. taking the lead a little bit. And obviously, the cheap dollar, you know, relative to some other currencies, might be having something to do with that. You know, other countries that have cash reserves and whose currencies are relatively strong, you know, their purchasing power goes a lot further, you know, when they're buying stocks, and they could see U.S. companies as relatively cheap just because of the currency that they're purchasing them in, relative to U.S. investors' outlook, which might be like, well, perhaps they're still too high. So there's always two sides of the coin. In terms of other asset classes, I would just say stay away from the stuff that's had recent runs and markups. You know, there was a lot of fear, you know, anti-risk trades put on, you know, gold, silver, bonds, 10-year notes. You know, it's hard to see squeezing a whole lot more out of those. I mean, maybe they're not going to fall back huge amounts, but I think the main upside is over there for now. You know, in terms of futures, again, look at the relative strengths and the charts. And it's kind of funny because in terms of psychology, you know, as Americans, you know, 90% of people are sort of ingrained, brainwashed to only buy things when they're on sale, you know. So it's more difficult to buy something when you feel that you're paying up for something. But truly, you know, that's where the demand is, and that's where you want to be, riding those waves of demand. So right now in the futures, you know, we're seeing really nice moves in these grains. I don't think they've made anything near a top. You know, they're just breaking out of these charts. These soybeans and these wheat and corn are all pretty lovely. Nat gas just had a really nice bounce off of a low. So if you are into that mentality of feeling like something's discounted, you know, there's a market for you that's probably at the lower end of its range, but I'm not sure how much upside it has. It might just be going back to the upper end of its range. But, yeah, so in general, you know, I think the play's been over, obviously, in these notes and bonds and bond funds, for that matter. And, you know, it's kind of hard, like, where are you going to put your money, you know? I mean,
right.
So grains are good. You know, copper's been coming to life again, and I would far rather, like, be putting monies into copper than gold or silver at this point. And then just use some common sense, too, you know, really. You know, common sense will tell you, you know, not to, just to look at the sentiment readings and you know, I don't see people catching on to this move in the grains yet, but I think it's good and for real. And so there's some ideas in the futures market.